open your Bibles up to 1 John. Today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. As was already mentioned before, today is the fourth and final Sunday of the Advent season. And the focus of this particular Sunday is love. And I think that we could agree that there is no other word that is used so flippantly and yet carries so much weight with it that even the mention of the word love probably invokes in each one of us a certain response. Everything from music to movies and even fast food restaurants, right? Ba 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 ba. I'm loving it. Listen, don't try to lie and say you don't eat at McDonald's. I know you do. But what are they really after when they try to get you to love them? Usually it's something that they're selling. They're trying to invoke in you an emotion that encourages you to think that you love that product. Even one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time, no, not Die Hard, Elf, has this theme of what it means to love inside of it, right? Elf sings to his father, I love you, I love you, I love you. But what does that mean? And for some of us, even the mention of love during this time of year has with it this nature of almost pain and heartache. I'll say more on that later. But hopefully today, out of this particular passage, out of this sermon today, when you hear love, when you hear about love, the sense that you will get is comfort. Today, what I'm hoping to accomplish in this particular sermon through this particular passage is to encourage you to know love. You see, the truth is Jesus Christ made God's love known to us. He made it known to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we should make him known to others with our love. That's the thesis for today. Jesus Christ made God's love known to us, so we should make him known to others with our love. With this in your mind, I want to encourage you to stand one more time for a reading from the Word of God, if you're able. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, it says this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. This is a reading from the Word of God. You may be seated. I have 3 points today, and inside of those 3 points, I have 3 goals. Here are my 3 goals for today's sermon. First is to help you know the love of God, maybe for the first time, or if you already know the love of God, to be refreshed in the love of God as a believer. My second goal is to encourage you to live through Jesus and the power of his love. And then my final goal is to motivate you to love people to Jesus, to love people to Jesus. My first point, my first goal is out of verses 7 and 8 from our passage today. The first point is to know love is to know God. To know love is to know God. We see right away in verse 7 this word that's going to also be at the end of the passage is this word beloved. There's so much that is packed inside of this particular word that I'm going to address in just a moment under application. But just for a moment, just for a second, will you let this word beloved rest in your heart and your mind? Can you get this sense as John, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking on behalf of God, says to you, believer, beloved, beloved. You see, oftentimes we can walk through life and not feel loved. But the truth is, God loves you so much that he sent his son born in a manger to show his love to us. And we're going to find one other truth in this particular passage right away, that love actually comes from God. And I mentioned this a little bit before in the introduction, but Satan and the world want to take the meaning of love and twist it. They want to take what comes from God and make it mean something totally different. But I think for us this time of season, as we pause to celebrate the birth of Jesus, that we need to be reminded that his birth made a way for us to be born again. As Christians, the way that love has been evidenced to us is through our new birth in Jesus Christ. Every Christian is born anew, is spiritually reborn in Jesus Christ. This means that the birth of Jesus Christ in the manger should remind us of our new birth given to us by the Holy Spirit. And our new birth in Christ, according to this particular passage, has two continuing results. First is to love. Jesus Christ, in a very real sense, gave us the new birth so that we would love as he has loved us. But the second, and maybe one that we don't think about very often, is to actually know God. To love first and to know God out of his love. Now, why would this be so crucial in the middle of this passage? This whole chapter, back into chapter 3, even at the beginning of chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, sits in the middle of a larger discussion by John about how to tell who is a false prophet and who isn't, who really knows the love of God and who doesn't. One who has the new birth and one who doesn't. And you know what the main marker is according to this particular passage? The main way to tell the difference? It's love. But why would the main marker be love? Well, what we find in verses 7 and 8 today is that we find out that love comes from God. But now we see why. Now we see why love comes from God. It's because God is love. God cares and loves because in his very character, listen to these words, God is infinite, self-giving affection. God cares and loves because in his very character, God is infinite, self-giving affection. Now we have to pause and think about this for a minute because those are some big words that I have thrown out with you. Maybe the best way to consider what I'm saying here is in terms of our own imitation or our own limitation of loving others. My love, I don't want to admit this, but if you're being honest, you would admit this too. My love has limits. It has many limits. Often, sometimes, those limits are as simple as time and distance. But brothers and sisters, not God. Not God. But knowing that God is love in a very real sense should drive us to know Him more. And the only way to know God is through Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus proclaims this even in the gospel. No one comes to the Father, no one knows the Father but through me. To know God is to know Jesus Christ, and to know Jesus Christ is to know love. I was thinking about this a lot this holiday season. Because sometimes, like, I think that, like, my brain and my emotions are broken. Because everybody is supposed to be happy this time of year, and oftentimes I am not. And I thought I was just, like, a messed up person because I think about death, like, all the time. But then I started talking to some of you. Now, I started interacting with several of you. And what I found out is that for many of you, the holiday season is hard as well. It's hard for many of us because someone that we love isn't here. There's a sense of grief and loss that we feel during this holiday season. And this is where I want you to again be refreshed by the word that begins this particular section of verses. In this season where you may feel a sense of loss, you may feel a sense of grief, you may feel a sense of love lost, listen again to the love of God and know the love of God as He calls out to you as His beloved. And even though you might feel the sense of loss and a lack of love this season, know that the God of the universe has called you His beloved. But maybe you're in a different category today. Maybe everything is going good for you, but you're super busy this holiday season. Anybody out here having a relaxing holiday season? Tell us how you figured that out, John. Oh, your wife has got it figured out. Okay, so got it. Most of us, this is our busiest time of year, isn't it? And it's not bad things. It's usually good things. But can I just encourage you to pause in the middle of this super busy holiday season and hear the life-giving word of God call you beloved? Beloved. But if you're here today and you don't yet know the love of God, you've not yet experienced the love of Jesus Christ in salvation. Maybe you would even say that you feel this sting of lack of true love. That in your life you feel like you've never experienced true love. Can I just suggest to you that maybe God is using that experience in your life to bring you to this moment, to know the true love in Jesus as He calls you beloved. Maybe this is the time in which God would call you to Himself in salvation, and you would get to experience true, real love for the first time. But my second point today is to know love is to live through Jesus. To know love is to live through Jesus. You see, many of us may have had this experience where someone has told us that they love us, but they've never shown us that they've loved us. But this is not true with God. Look with me at verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. Now, how did He do that? That God sent His only Son in the world so that we might live through Him. Manifest just simply means to make clear what was previously hidden. You see, the whole of the Old Testament is this anticipation of waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the one who's going to make things right, waiting for the one who's going to rescue us. But in the Old Testament, they never get to see the realization of Christ's birth, the coming of the Messiah. But in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, the love of God was made clear to us in the birth of Jesus Christ in the manger. God didn't just say that he loved us with his words. He physically showed us how much he loved us by sending his son into the world. I want to just make one quick theological point, and then I'll move on past this. He's called the Son of God before he is born into the world. That means that Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God before he was even born. This is a Trinitarian point. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was the Son before he was born. But the love of God evidences in Jesus' coming down from heaven. And in a very real sense, the power of the Holy Spirit to cause the virgin birth in the sending of Jesus Christ. But I want to emphasize here another significant point about Jesus that this text says. It calls Jesus his only son. This, in a very real sense, means a one of a kind. Now, I don't know if you guys are watching. I know some of you very much are, but baseball cards and Pokemon cards have made a huge renaissance in our day and age. And one of the big things that is happening online right now are these openings of the cards. Have you kids seen these? When they open the cards and they're looking for what kind of card did they pull? And I think the most expensive type of Pokemon card is some kind of like rare Charizard. Am I like basically speaking a foreign language to like half of everybody here? Okay, it's like the Mickey Mantle of Pokemon cards, okay? To pull this type of card. There are rare cards that you could pull that would have a high value. But the thing about it is that there is usually at least more than one of them. Well, there is no other Jesus Christ. There is only one. And that only one, as an evidence of God's love, was sent to earth to be born in a manger and then ultimately die for us. And sometimes we get so focused on this nature of our salvation in that he paid for our sins, both now and in the future. But there's something that this particular text points out that I want to shift your focus to today. Look at the end of verse 9. There's a purpose clause in the middle of verse 9. It tells us why he came. It says, so that, and it doesn't say just so that we can have our sins forgiven. It doesn't say anything other than this. So that we might live through him. Now, what does it mean to live through him? Let me try to sum it up this way. To live through him means to know God and to love others out of our knowledge of him, out of his love. And John begins to paint or continues to paint this picture of how drastic this love of God was for us. It says that God loved us even when we didn't love him. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 from the pastoral reading, in particular, verse 8 reminds us that God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ loved us so much that even though we didn't love him, the love of God was made manifest, was made clear to us in that he would come and die for us even when we had shown him no love. Let me just try to be clear inside of who God actually is, because the tendency might be to focus solely on the love of God. And love doesn't stand alone as God's singular attribute, but God is perfect in all of his attributes, including also his holiness and righteousness. But he does show he does show that true love is selfless, especially in this aspect of the fact that he showed his love to us even when we didn't show love to him. And I think all of us would agree it is much easier to love someone who has already loved you. It is much easier to be kind to someone who has been kind to you. But God loved us when we didn't love him. And in fact, the thing that this text says that he did is amazing. It says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son for a specific purpose. Again, another big Christian word, to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, from the beginning of time, every human has sinned and is by nature a sinner. We have done things that have violated the law of God. And because God is loving, but because God is also holy, that sin comes at a cost. And ultimately, because of our sin, that cost, according to Genesis, was our life. And not just our physical death, but our spiritual death as well. The price that was owed for our sin, the death, is not a price that we could pay on our own. But Jesus Christ pays the price for us. He satisfies the wrath of God against sinners like us. He is the propitiation, the satisfaction for what we owed. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 discusses the twofold nature of this, of what Christ did in his propitiation. It says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Here's the application of all this. The application, according to this passage, as a response to the love of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, is to live through Jesus. Here's maybe the easiest way to think about this. The power to live in love comes from the unlimited storehouse of the love of God. The love of God that sent Jesus to the cross for our sins is the same love of God that we know today. Again, if we're honest with each other, there are two things that are difficult when it comes to living in love. One of the ones I think that is the most difficult but also most overlooked is knowing or remembering that you are loved. This normally takes two forms, forgetfulness or doubt. Anyone else besides me doubted whether or not God loves them? I've done that. Especially when I am living in a sin that I know is a sin. I start to wonder, how could God love someone like me? But brothers and sisters, the birth of Jesus Christ has made manifest the love of God for us, that we are, in fact, his beloved. But I think sometimes, too, we just get so busy that we forget how much God actually loves us. And again, we must turn upon the manger and the cross to recognize that God has made clear his love for us in the fact that he caused his son to come to earth to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death, to put his love on display for us. The other one, the second one that I think is difficult when it comes to love, is one that I think we're very familiar with and sometimes maybe enjoy. This is the topic of loving others who are hard to love. Anyone in your life that's hard to love? Don't say yes or no. They might be sitting next to you. Amen? But I can guarantee for almost all of us, when I ask this question, someone's face or name popped into your head. And maybe that someone is someone that you're going to spend time with during this week, during this Christmas season. Let me just reassure you. The same love that was manifested in Jesus Christ to come from heaven and be born, to make his love known to you, is the same love that you have access to love that person. It's the same. And the resources and limits of God's love are unlimited. But one is the foundation of the other. And oftentimes we have to remember that we're beloved before we can get busy loving that person that's difficult to love. You see, because if you're completely loved by God, I don't know if you know how freeing this is, but it frees me to not really care what anybody else thinks about me. Amen? If I know that God loves me, what am I concerned about what you think about me? I love you, but I don't really care what you think about me. And this is a freedom that we all get to live in, knowing that God loves you so much that you don't have to be concerned about whether that person loves you or not. It doesn't make any difference. If God has declared you his beloved and then commissioned you to love other people, you have the freedom to love them regardless of how they respond to you. This is absolute freedom when we think about people who are difficult to love. When I remember how much God has loved me in Jesus Christ, then I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. But sometimes I've got to go back and be reminded of how much I'm loved, lest I start to think that what others think about me is the most important thing. But this brings us to our final point. To know love is to love people to Jesus. And this passage ends where it began, beloved. Beloved. If you have experienced the love of God, that love then becomes the motivation by which we want to love others. You see, the love of God becomes the motivation by which I want to show love to others. And these last two verses in this passage, in verses 11 and 12, say we ought to love one another. And many commentators would say, well, this makes this a moral obligation that you're supposed to love others. And to me, that almost cheapens the love of God to say, well, this is just a moral obligation that you have to do. When in fact, when you have experienced the love of God, brothers and sisters, how could we not want to love other people? How could you not want to? And especially when I recognize that the storehouse of God's love is unlimited and I can just give it out to everybody, why would I not want to? Let this sink into your heart and mind. To know God is to know his love. And to know those who truly love is to know God. Let me say that again if you didn't write that down. To know God is to know his love, and to know those who truly love is to know God. Now, I had to think about this for a while because this passage in verse 12 has like a weird insert here that I didn't understand at first. It's like out of the blue, John just goes, no one has ever seen God. Well, John, what does that have to do with love? But it's here, and he says, no one has ever seen love. And then right after that, he says, if we love one another, God abides in us. What this passage is telling us is that there is a way that God can be seen in the world today. There is a way in which God can be manifested today. There is a way in which his love can be manifested today. And brothers and sisters, it's you and me. When we live in love, God abides or resides in us. That spiritual birth that I talked about earlier comes full circle here in that we bear a family resemblance to the one who has administered his love to us, brought us into his family, and then how it's now commissioned us with the family trait of all Christians to love others. And this love, in fact, according to this passage, is being perfected in us. Well, this doesn't mean that we'll perfectly love. Many of us have been Christians a long time in our lives. Any of you perfect at loving yet? I am not. I'm still growing in love. But love is being perfected in us. In other words, this means it's being brought to completion. It's being brought to a goal. But what does that mean? The goal that God is after here is love. Love for each other, and love, get this, brothers and sisters, that ends with us in eternal loving relationship with each other and God in heaven. The perfect realization of love is the removal of sin and love dwelling in relationship together with God for eternity. That is the perfection of love. That is the goal of love. But the application straight from the point is that we, brothers and sisters, get the incredible privilege of loving people to Jesus. There's an often underestimated way in which God is made known into a lost and dying world. You see, when we as believers know the God of our salvation, we love each other. And inside of that love, God is made manifest to a world that doesn't know love. They don't know love. You see, love has its fullest realization in my life, not just individually between me and God, but between me and other people. Our knowledge of God and experience of his love was never meant to sit dormant in our hearts and minds, but it's meant to be expressed in the way that we live. We might have friends and family who are difficult, but the most loving thing that you can do for them is love them even when it's hard. And let's not forget that the way that we're motivated to love others is by the way God has loved us. And as you interact with those who might be difficult this week to love, love them with your words. Love them with your actions. Seek to find opportunities to do the most loving thing, which is actually share the love of God with them, share the gospel with them. And actually take time to think about how you can love them. Before this Wednesday rolls around and you're going to be with your family during Christmas, think about tangible ways that you can love them. Parents, let me encourage you to lead your children in this. Talk about eternal realities, that everyone will spend eternity somewhere, and God has given us a call as believers to make him known to the world. Many of us are discouraged with the state of the world around us, and yet God has commissioned us to bring about change in that world through the love of God that we give to those that we interact with. They might not be able to understand it at first, but for someone to interact with a Christian, they should walk away and go, that guy's weird, there's something different about him, but I want to know what it is. And what they're going to find, the thing that's different about us as Christians, is that we actually know what love is, because we've experienced it through God. But let me say to you again, friend, if you're here today, and you've attempted to find love in a multitude of different ways and found yourself dissatisfied, the love that you're looking for will not be found in a person or in things or anything that is of this world. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. And this season in which we've paused to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ is an important season for you to consider what love actually is. Love, according to this passage, is that God would do all that's necessary to make a way for us to have a relationship with Him and spend eternity with Him in heaven. But Christ didn't die just for the future. He died for the now, so that you can know love and in His love live through Him. Brothers and sisters, friends, let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us to administer His love to the world around us this holiday season. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this incredible reminder of how much you love us. Lord, thank you that you know us. You know that many of us find this time of season difficult. Thank you for allowing us to know your love through Jesus Christ. Thank you for making your love clear to us through Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us as we go about our daily activities, as we go to work, as we interact with family and friends, that in a very real way, they would know God because of the way that we love them. Help us to be motivated by the love that you have shown to us to love others. Help us to be reminded and to not forget how much you have loved us. And help us to look forward to the day in which we'll get to spend eternity in a loving relationship with you in heaven. But Lord, I ask today if there is anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, they have not yet experienced your love, that today would be the day that you would call out to them and draw them to yourself, and that they would know love in a very real way. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.